For your love, we thank you for your goodness, and Lord, we thank you that we can come together and worship you, and I pray that you just open your word up to us and speak to us and just give us understanding of your ways and how we can call upon you and live out through this life. Lord, I pray you just open each heart to receive. I pray you just fill me with the Spirit, that I just speak words of the Spirit, and so we give this time to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I always have to bring this up just because it's so fun to me. Just the biggest part of the message is figuring what the title is going to be. You know, I like that. Yeah. So waging war. I said, well, this will be fun. Let's sort of look at here at 2 Corinthians 10:3. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. Now, what we have here in context, you understand something. In the book of Corinthians, we have, you know, 9 chapters that we've talked about. So it's not like people say, well, this has come up and here's the first message you'll ever hear, and we go to 2 Corinthians 10:3. Well, no, we're not going to do that. No, we've talked about 9 chapters. So a foundation has been built. But now, you know, this is the next topic he feels. You've got to know this. He says, you've really told you a lot of things about Jesus and our salvation, but you need to know this. And what it tells us, you know, we walk along in this earthly body doing the best we can, right? I mean, we do. We're just doing the best we can in this earthly body. Now, also, in this verse, you see where the word flesh is used. I think if you have an NIV Bible, it uses the word world. You know, so it would say, for we walk in the world, and we are not waging war according to the world, which is good. You know, that's not bad, but the literal word is actually flesh, you know. So, but you see the unfolding here, it's like, now I need to bring something to your mind, because you're doing what you know, you're doing the best you can, but there's a war waging out there. There's a war waging, and it's not according to the flesh. It's not according to the world. Now what we see here, we see that in Ephesians 6:12, it gives us more information, okay? Now, the Apostle Paul wrote Corinthians and Ephesians, so these go together. But we have this verse in the end of Ephesians 6:12, and it says this, we are not waging war according to the flesh. We are not waging war according to the flesh and blood, the physical ways of this world. We're waging war against cosmic power over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. You go, oh, shucks. You know. But again, what you have in Ephesians, you have unbelievable doctrine in the book of Ephesians. It's just, we praise Jesus, but it ends with this. It ends with this right here. It says, listen, we are not waging war, flesh and blood, the physical ways of this world. We are waging war against cosmic power over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. See, here we are, you're walking out, the scripture's good, and we're walking in the joy and the guidance and the power of Jesus. Amen? However, there is a present darkness inhabited by evil forces. It all goes together. Now, you even go back to 1 John, okay, in 1 John, and he says this about us. In 1 John 5:19, he says, we know we are from God. Okay, everybody says, God's people say, amen, okay. But there's not a period there. There's a comma. We know we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Okay, so these guys are even agreeing now, All right. So it's like, man, at one hand, we just the glories of Jesus. But on the other hand, there's a realm of spiritual evil. Now, first of all, we keep going. Have you ever wondered, how are things so terrible? How do they get so bad? That's because of over here, the spiritual evil, it is at work. It is at work. But God has intervened through this in his people and called his people to salvation, and it says he's going to protect his people. But he leaves us here. He leaves us here. Every once in a while, I just, you know, get in and I say, Jesus, take me home. Linda goes, don't you leave me here with all the bills and stuff. That would be just like you to leave me here. I said, oh, gosh, now I'm getting it from both ends. And so I have to stay because she would follow me and make my heaven miserable. Okay, sorry I didn't. Now, but what you see here, so you see here, now the point is, it's coming out, and he's telling us something very interesting. The Lord is really revealing something to us. This is a truth. It's an absolute truth, and we don't need to be afraid. Now, it is a church, it's people, and Scripture is very clear. You don't need to be afraid. In fact, in James says, you resist the devil, he just flees from you. So he doesn't have authority over it. But we need to understand what's going on. We don't need to be afraid, but we need to be aware. Also, there's something else we need to be aware of. We can't win our battles with human, worldly weapons. We can't, I'll work this out in my own flesh, in the world, you know, and I'm going to outwit Satan and the evil powers and stuff like that. You can't do it. It's not going to happen. And so he's telling us you can't win your battles in the spiritual realm with physical weapons. Now look, if you will, and we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 10:4. And it says this, the weapons of our warfare are not the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Now, wow, good for verse 4 to complement verse 3 here. And it says, listen, we have weapons, okay, and they have divine power. So what is he telling us to do here? He said, listen, you've had 9 chapters, the glory of Christ. You have 9 chapters. Understand how God's moving in this world. Now you need to understand you're in an evil world. You're in an evil world, and you have divine power to destroy strongholds in this evil world. Amen? So what he's doing, if you will, he's telling you, say, you don't know this, but I'm telling you this so you understand. Because the evil is working whether you know it or not. See, it's working. So he's saying, okay, now I'm telling you how to handle this. Whereas the people that don't have Christ, don't have Jesus, and it's going on, and they're working the evil world too, except they don't know it. They don't know it. You know, it's kind of like they're running around and moving the chairs around in the Titanic, you know, trying to figure it out. It just don't work. Right? And so God said, I'm telling you what's happening so you won't do that. You understand. Well, if you understand, then you can deal with it. See, that's what he said. See, it's already happening. He didn't like bring it. No, this is the way it was. Okay? He's interjecting himself through the Lord Jesus Christ to take care of his people. But his people need to understand. You know, I always like to use children. Your children, because your children, I'm tickled that your children, that God gave you to raise you, to teach you the things you needed to know, you know, through your children. But if you have a child, like God has a child, and he has all the protection, the glory of his mother and father, well, you just put him out in the street and walk off and leave him. We can't do that, because he doesn't know anything. You know, he hadn't grown up. He hadn't been taught. You know, there's no awareness. Well, this is what God is saying, the same thing about you. I save you. I bring you into the world. You are my child. Now, I need to teach you some stuff that's happening. This is truth. I'm trying to teach you some stuff that's happening so you will do well. So, Scott, That's one of the important things. And praise Jesus. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiving. Have a home in heaven. Amen. Okay. But we got to live here. And everything is not working real well. Okay. We have to stay here. And God says, yeah, that's what I meant to happen. And I'll teach you how to live here. So this is basically what he's saying here. Now, what we see here, our fleshly weapons are useless. You can't outmaneuver the evil. Okay, you can't outmaneuver. They always has an upper hand because it's a cosmic evil, you know. So, our weapons have divine power. Now, this is important. Our weapons have divine power founded on God's Word, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Well, I don't know God's Word. You know, I don't want to read God's Word. It's like, well, you know, you really should. You know, it's like, you can love Jesus, go to heaven, be happy. He goes, but I want to walk you through this world so you understand what's going on. Okay, then you can handle it. And so you have God's Word that is breathed out. But then also, you have God in you giving you direction. I mean, reality, something that, you know, it's just like, well, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Oh, yeah, that's right. No, it really is God's power. You know, and I try to, he prompts you. He brings things to mind. He leads you. Do you ever, I always like to speak specifically to the ladies, but guys, sometimes, do you ever walk into a room and something or just be somewhere and you go, I don't need to be here. You don't know why. Everybody else here, and I just let you know, the Holy Spirit just said, you don't need to be here. That's all he's doing. And he's trying to help you out. It's not like, oh, you're going to go to hell because you're here. It's like, no, you don't need to be here. This is dangerous. And so he said, I think I'll just not do this. You see what I mean? There's things like that. And we all go through those things. You know, I just had this feeling. I don't know. And unfortunately, we don't give God the credit. You know, we just think of something we thought up, and God says, no, I'm taking care of you, and you need to refine and grow in that ability so that we can walk with the Lord. So, this is important. There's a very real cosmic attack. First Peter says this, ever something strange happened to you, and you don't know why? And you're being attacked by the evil one. It's something so strange you can't figure it out. So he lets you know, it's like, why did this happen? There's other stuff going on in the world that we can't see that is happening, yet we have some understanding to see what it is. And so, again, we have the scriptures, we have the Holy Spirit. Again, all this built on the first 9 chapters and all of scripture. Now, it's interesting to know the word here, strongholds. The word stronghold here, now this fascinates me. I don't know if it fascinates anybody else. But when you come across a word, and there's several of them, like in the New Testament, say, this is the only place in the New Testament that this was used. And I go, really? Why? You know what? Well, this is one of those words, stronghold. It's not any place else in the New Testament. This is the only place in the New Testament that stronghold is used. So now, we know what a stronghold is in the literal sense. We can look back in the Old Testament, and it tells us, you know, how it's used. And if you will, just look here at Proverbs 21:22, because we see this. We have the divine power to destroy strongholds. Okay, so in Proverbs 21:22, it tells us what a stronghold is. It says, a wise man scales the city of the mighty. He attacks the city of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they trust. See, what the world trusts, what the evil one uses, are strongholds. And it's like, that's what he's using. Well, we know we have divine power, and we're not impacted by it. Now, granted, bad stuff happens and we're in a war, but all of a sudden we see these strongholds and we have the power, divine power, it says here in the New Testament, to bring that down. It's not on us. We know what to do. We know how to pray against it. We know how to move against it. We know how to call God into this situation. And so we remove that stronghold from us. And our argument against people, we tell them the information to tear down their stronghold of the way they think and the way they operate. But again, it's not human wisdom. It's what God tells us. See, it's what God, he says, I'm giving you something other people don't have. That's why. I'll get to that later. I catch, you know, gift. No, that wasn't from the Lord. I'll hold that for a minute. Now, see, what we have here, as in 2 Corinthians 10:4, what we just looked at, we have divine power to destroy these strongholds. Now, everything I said up to this point, you think, my goodness, it's just like cosmic power, evil places in the heavenlies, and it's like the whole world's under control of the evil one. And you say, I wish I hadn't come this morning. Lord, you know, well, let's say something good. Well, something good is he said, you have divine power to tear them down. It's like you win. Now, that's my word. Okay. But he says, see all that stuff? What he says, well, you have the power. You have the divine power to tear those down. You're okay. I'm going to walk with you through this. This is not on you. Okay. That's what he's saying. He's saying that. And so the good word is, it is happening. But the good word is, I will lead you and walk you through it. But you need to know what's going on so that you can handle it the way you need to handle it. You know, we talked about giving last week, and we think I made the point, you know, and that was just the next verse. I said, you're giving just fine, but I'm just reading the next verse, and it's on giving. But what it said about giving and what the Paul said about giving is very fascinating of what he's doing. He made a comment. He says, listen, I don't need your money. Paul says it, I don't need it, but I want you to give for the credit you're going to get for giving. See, that's what he's doing. If you give, I'll give you stuff. But if you don't understand about giving, you can't receive because you don't want to give because you don't understand giving. You see what I'm saying? It's just there. I'm trying to tell you how this world works in my economy. That's all he's trying to tell. And I love the way where he talks about giving and making just the point for here. He says, you get together and agree and make up your mind what you should give. How much did he tell you to give? Now, I'm going back last week. How much money did he tell you to give in there? He didn't. He said, get together and make up your mind. See? And then I'm going to bless you based on what you come up with. It's us. See, he didn't put Hebrew. In fact, he says this. It's not under compulsion. It's not under compulsion. Okay? If I stood up here and said, you need to give, you should say, well, this is out of fellowship. He's trying to put that on me. No. But you see what I'm saying? Anyway, so the same point is being made here. And so what he's telling us here, these are strongholds that built up. And by the way, it's not, I don't want to keep this in proper perspective. A lot of times, it's not just people. It's not just people. It's evil influences behind people. You know, and again, I'm not saying they're evil, but I'm saying there's evil influences behind people, and they're being led by that and don't have the discernment to step out of that or to call upon God to protect them from that, okay? Because the evil influence is there. It is there. Now, some of it becomes more obvious than the others. Now, so here we have our weapons bring down the stronghold that unbelievers have put their trust in. So what they trust, we don't. And so we have the capacity to bring down that stronghold and communicate that stronghold that's holding somebody, and that we're not going to be in it. And even if someone asks and has a conversation, we have the wisdom to say, no, this is not of Christ. This is not proper, you know. So he's giving us that. Now, other than Jesus, the Apostle Paul is our best example of using weapons of warfare, having divine power to destroy strongholds. Okay, the best one who did this, okay, in the Bible, the best one who did it was Jesus. Can't approach how good he was. The next one's Paul. So Paul did really address strongholds well. Jesus did it extra. See, I love what Jesus said. You know, I've made up my mind. Somebody said, I wish Jesus was here and I'd like to ask him something. I go, I don't want to ask him nothing, because I know what he's going to say about me, you know. And so they asked Jesus. I love these Pharisees. And these are the law. They knew the law. And they asked Jesus a question. And he says, you don't know this because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. What did he just say? The whole world's under control of you. Well, you can't. Your problem is you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. That's the reason I'm not going to ask him anything. Because, Wallace, you don't know the scripture or the power of God. So I know that beforehand, so I'm not asking. But that's what he said. See? But now, what did he tell us there? That to know the answer, you needed to know the scriptures and the power of God. So the flip on that. So he's telling us, giving us that information. Now, so let's look at the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul is really an interesting character, and we talked about him before. Now, you have the disciples that Jesus picked, okay? And you know, I don't know how to put it. I mean, they just weren't the sharpest tools in the shed. They just wasn't, you know? Now, I mean, he filled them, and these guys, you know, were 11 of them anyway. They really did well. But there's no, you know, they didn't have much intellectual credibility to them that he picked. The Apostle Paul is different. The Apostle Paul, and he would say, you know, they talked about the Pharisees in the Old Testament, New Testament, and they were the intellectual. There's the one that knew. They were the highly educated. And the Apostle Paul goes, I am a Pharisee of all Pharisees. He said, I'm smarter than all of you. Okay. The point of it is, one of the points he's making, he was brilliant. Okay, he was really brilliant, probably had most of the Old Testament memorized, you know. So he was at a level of intelligence that above his peers. And he even says that. Now, he also says it in this way. I count it all loss to gain Christ. That's what he says. I count it all to gain Christ. He understood the whole situation. Now, why I'm bringing this up? Because I'm going to read to you how Paul, understanding the situation, understanding the cosmic evil, understanding the intellectual, when he would go and preach to a church and he would establish these churches, he'd be the first one there. I want you to see his attitude, because his attitude, he worked as me and you. He worked as a human being. He worked just like us. And so we can learn about, he was on our level, if you will. On the well. So just listen to this. He talks about having spiritual power to tear down strongholds. Now the question is, the reason we're looking at this, so we can tear down strongholds. How many times do you talk to people, I don't know what to say, they asked me this question, I didn't know what to say, I didn't know what to do, I don't know how to talk to them, you know. And the Apostle Paul said, wait a minute, we all can do this. My great intellect I put aside because it's not working. You know, there's something else going on with that. So I'm going to read this to you so that we can understand why we don't have to be intimidated by anybody, ever. Ever. Because we can't usher in God into our conversation. And see, God will handle it well. He'll handle it really, really well. And it's really, if you get anything, they're fun to watch. It's like, You know, it's like that. You know, because there's a working, and God's working with people, and we don't even know what he's doing. Okay, right here, 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 through 5. And the Paul's talking to the church where he's going to, and it's being attacked. And he says this, and I summarized it a little in the overhead. I didn't write it all down, but you can just listen and follow along. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, Paul says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers," brilliant Paul, "and I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech and wisdom." Okay? First thing in not working, lofty speech and wisdom. I didn't come to you. The testimony of God, give you the testimony of God with lofty speech and wisdom. Verse 2, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." That's it. Now, read what it said. "I decided to know nothing, not one thing, except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Crucified. Hey, buddy, I have memorized the Old Testament, almost three quarters of it. We'll have a little sword drill. Okay, you pick a verse, you know, and we'll just deal with it. He's like, Paul said, "Oh, that gets nowhere, and that means nothing. Because I've decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Now, so you're with XYZ intellectual, and they got all this stuff they're giving to you. You go, "I've decided to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified." God goes, "Now heavens are shaking. Now the heavens are shaking. You know, we're invading the heavens. The demons are fleeing. The demons are fleeing." See, I just want you to know, Satan and demons aren't dumb. I just let you know. I don't know if you never knew that before, but they're not dumb, okay? They've memorized everything since creation, so they kind of have us figured out. But anyway, so he says, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power." You get me? You get me? You get Jesus Christ and him crucified and the Holy Spirit who lives in me. That's who you get. That's who you get. What do you want to talk about? What do you want to talk about? Because we're starting with Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is where we're starting. That's what shakes the world, is Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then every word the Holy Spirit gives me. And the Holy Spirit will empower whatever is said. See, now when you do things like that, you think, "Well, really, really?" Yeah, because when you get to do it and you get used to it, you start watching. You say, "This is going to be fun." You know, you just, okay, do this. And what's fun, because you address it like this, which, by the way, we know that, don't we? You say, "I don't know anything." He said, "Do you know about Jesus Christ and him crucified? Well, then you know enough. That's what you need to talk about. That's what you need to talk about." So anyway, he says, "And my speech and my message were not implausible words of the wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. So that, and here this word is really important right here where it says so that. Why is it a demonstration? Why is a demonstration of Spirit of power? Why is that necessary? Right here. "So that your faith might not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." When I talk to you, I just felt like I was in the presence of God. I talk to you, something's happening. I talk to you, I don't understand what's going on. Y'all with me? So Paul is telling us this, So that we have the Bible and the Holy Spirit so that our faith doesn't rest on the wisdom of men. Now, I am all in, if you will, for outside study, studying the scriptures and that, and you know that. But the point of it is, God says, I want you to start at the proper spot. At the proper spot. God gives us divine power when we proclaim only Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Can I repeat that to you? One more. Listen to that. I can't measure up to Paul. I can't receive the power. I don't know. But listen to what the Bible says. God gives us divine power when we proclaim only Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's where we start. What did Paul say? It's just what Paul said. I don't know nothing. Well, you know something? Yeah, I know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Don't be intimidated by anything. By anything. Because we know that. And when we say that, when we're facing someone with an intellectual stronghold, our speech and our message does not rely on plausible words of wisdom. Y'all with me? It does not rely on plausible words of wisdom. It is Jesus Christ and Him crucified which defies all human wisdom. Amen? That's what it is. I don't. It's funny when you look at this and you think, oh my gosh, and you read it. He's telling us that the plausible words and the wisdom is not what we need. He tells us that. He tells us that. And then turns right around and tells us where the power comes from is the cross. It's the cross. And when we speak of the cross, the foundations shake. God moves when we speak of the cross. And the cross defies human wisdom. Defies human wisdom. So, this is the source of all knowledge and all spiritual power. When the message of Jesus Christ and Him come and Him crucified comes from our mouth, all intellectual strongholds crumble. See, I think probably a part of that, probably a part of this statement, we look at that. No, I know if we talk of this intellectual endeavor, or if we talk about this problem somebody's going through, or if we talk about this situation, and it's more than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We think that that's not enough. And at the same time, what God is telling us, it is enough. God is telling us it is enough. And that the intellectual basis of anybody crumbles on that because they can't deal with it. They'll say, what about this? We'll go, what about Jesus and the cross? What about this? What about Jesus and the cross? But all this other things you need to explain. No, because the Apostle Paul said that will not accomplish anything. And so what he's doing is trying to empower us as his people. And on the foundation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, God's word is released in power. Now, do we believe that? That, again, reinforcing it based on Jesus Christ and Him crucified, God's power released. Now, what do we want in our conversation? God's power released. That's what we want. Well, let me show you how smart I am. God goes, not happening. Not happening. The Apostle Paul said, not happening. See, the whole thing is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and power is released. So you get in a situation, and all the stuff comes up, and you start talking about anything. You say, okay, I got to get this back to Jesus Christ and Him crucified, because when I get back to Jesus Christ and Him crucified, God's power is released. And then we watch what God does in that situation. Now, we can have wisdom on how we bring it back and how we talk about it, but in communion, and I've often wondered about this. I'm often wondered about this. What do we celebrate in communion? Now, I celebrate this, but what does the word say? What do we celebrate in communion? Jesus Christ's death. That's it. I mean, we talk about his death and resurrection, but the word just, when we read it, is his death. Why? Because all the power comes from his death. So why is the apostle Paul making such, isn't he making a big deal out of this? You know, I can make a big deal out because I repeat it. Because he's trying to tell the people, you have all the divine power in the world if you will just use it. Stand on Jesus Christ and him crucified, and the heavens move. That is heavenly warfare. That's when the demons flee. They flee at that. Not a good argument. Not a good argument. See? No, they're in it. The devil's in the good arguments. See? But you can't do with Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, with this, the one word, this should be a memory verse for every people. So he's making a point that what? Waging war comes through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, right? It's the Word of God. We have it here in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus within us. Now I want you to look at Isaiah 55:11, and it tells us we speak Jesus Christ in him crucified, and that is the foundation that releases God's power. And when God's power is released, and then we build on that and say as God leads us. Amen? Look at Isaiah 55:11. Just love this. God says, my word that goes out of my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing which I sent it. That's what happens. Read that. That's what happened. Jesus Christ, him crucified, and that's his word. So we stand, and then what he says, then what comes through his mouth after that builds on that, and we are in war in the heavenlies. Demons are fleeing, things are happening. We don't say it. What we did, we just stood on the word, on Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, I want to share a couple of things. The Bible, and this is so important, and of course you've heard me say this before, the Bible is not dead letters on a page. It's not. Well, I'll read it like I read the Reader's Digest. No, it's not dead letters on a page. What the Bible is, and the Bible says, see, we believe the Bible. Do we believe the Bible? The Bible says that the Scriptures are God-breathed. That's what it is. It's not dead letters. It's God breathed. And I've shared this with you before. When I read that, I have these little quirks and stuff, but I'll read the in the Scriptures, and I'll say, God breathe on me. See, because I firmly believe that God's Word is alive. I believe it's alive. And breathe on, and then it shows me things. I always go to Linda all the time. You wouldn't believe what I just read. You know, it's like, yeah, the first time I ever read it. Well, the first time I ever saw it. But it's like, you wouldn't believe what he said. But see, it's alive, and it breathes on you. And whatever life situation you're going, it breathes on you. It breathes. Why would the Bible say God's word is God-breathed? Oh, so-and-so wrote it, and he's smart, and so-and-so wrote it. You know, so-and-so didn't have nothing to do with writing it. I breathed on him, and he wrote down what I breathed. And that's the way Jesus looked at the Old Testament. That's the way he looked at the Old Testament. All right? And so we went to the Museum of the Bible, or the book of Isaiah. They have the whole book of Isaiah, and dates back to 300 B.C. Okay? They have the whole thing. They have all sorts. But they have the whole book of Isaiah, 300 B.C. But you know what? In the Gospels, it said Jesus, he says, you have something to say? He goes, yeah. He opened up and wrote the scroll to Isaiah and read from it. Same thing. He read that same thing that they had at the Museum of the Bible. That's what he read. You know, and Jesus was going to say, you know, this ain't bad. No, he was the author. He wrote it. See, it's not dead. It's God breathed. And Jesus, you have something to say? Yeah. Rules. Listen to what Isaiah said. Listen to what Isaiah said. Now, so I want to share other things. This is like an application. Here's an application. Because the forces of evil are real, okay? Whether you believe it or not, they're real, okay? And again, people just wonder, well, why? No, it's real. They're evil, and they're doing evil things worldwide, and don't want to spend a lot of time on that. But at the same time, if we know it's worldwide, and we know that we live in this world, and we know that the power that we have to defeat these strongholds are the power of God, His Word, and the Holy Spirit, what we should do is act like it. Now, there's one, and I've told you this before, but it just fits in here, is that we need to cooperate with God. We need to cooperate with God. One of the things I do, this is just a... Well, Linda and I both do it. It's like when I go any place, I pray God to go into it first. You know what? Because I know all that junk's there. I want Him go first. Okay? Okay, God, You go first. And then, Lord, I want to see You move, and I want to be aware to what You're doing. I say that in every meeting, everything I do. If I ever meet with You, know that I ask God to meet with You first. All right, so just prepare the way, because I really don't like these people, and I just want you to know I don't think that way. But now, I'll be honest with you. When I come every Sunday morning, Lynn and I drive in, we pray God into the service, you know. So y'all should just feel His presence coming, because we pray God into the service every morning, and that God would somehow use this word to penetrate heart every morning, because we know, fully know, that what? We do has little or no effect. We're totally convinced. Linda and I, at our age, are totally convinced that we have little or no effect. So is it God? Something happened. You need to go and make it happen. And if it happens, we'll go, praise Jesus. Look what God did. You know, we're surprised. So you call God, and you, in every meeting, now you go in a business meeting, you go in a work meeting, you go like that. You say, all right, Jesus, You go in before me. You go in before me. You move before me, God. And I want to see You work in this. Well, that's what He says You do. That's not flesh and blood. So you have to go into me and you have to prepare. I suggest you really prepare the best you can. Give it all you have. And then you walk in. Okay, God, use this to penetrate in Your power. Business meeting. Why not? He's in the business. And then you go in and you present it, and you'll find out, and it's some fascinating things. You'll find out things that people will hear that you never dreamed that you wrote. That's, golly, that was good. I didn't know you said that. I said, I didn't know I said that either. You know, I'm serious. So what you have, you'll have God going before you and doing things, and then you will be cooperating with God when He's working, and you're aware that God is moving. Y'all with me? Now, and so we need to understand what the Bible says about the power of God's Word, what it says in Isaiah 55:11, right? All right. Now I'm going to share a couple of things with you. And I've shared these things with you before. I have actually shared these things with you before, but I want to share them again because they drive home the power of what actually is going on here. Look, if you will. Well, come on. It said, never be intimidated by any intellectual argument. Just speak Jesus Christ and Him crucified. God then moves heaven and earth, causing upheaval in false arguments, erroneously lofty opinions. You see that? He moves and causes upheavals. Now look at 2 Corinthians 10:5. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every one of their thoughts captive to obey Christ. What happens when we do that? There's a war started. There's a war started in the cosmic powers. And now, once once you talk about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, now once you say anything else, it's built on the foundation of truth. It's built on the foundation of truth. And if you have, let me just quote a few. And just examples, things you come up with. Say, homosexuality, transgender, murder, thieves. Okay, you want to just go on and on and on. Okay, what the Bible says, this is a choice. This is a choice between Jesus and the lie of Satan. That's just a choice. See, we get in an argument and God says, no, it's just a choice. It's just a choice. Now, with that choice, with that choice, we know where we're going, because all of a sudden you have, there's this choice happening, there's a spiritual war, and you have just made an impact. The foundations are shaking just on what you said. Now we know the next arguments. You know, bottom line, you trust in Jesus, you're forgiven. Right? It shakes the world, okay? Trust Jesus, you are forgiven. You have a home in heaven. The Holy Spirit will indwell you and enable you to live like Jesus. Now, there's two words here. The Holy Spirit will indwell and enable you. Again, we want to know how to handle stuff. Let's get in an argument about homosexuality. Unless God loves them, or this, you know, it's like, okay, you want to go there. That's Satan's territory. That's Satan's territory. Where's our territory? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ, and you're forgiven. Jesus Christ in the home of heaven. Jesus Christ, and you receive the Holy Spirit, who indwells you and enables you to be like Christ wanted. Amen? There's no... That's the whole thing, right? And so Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Don't have a question about homosexuality. By the way, you will lose that every single time. Every single time. Well, does God love? Yeah, He loves me. Homosexuals? Yeah, He loves heterosexuals too. You know, none of them are going to heaven either. But, you know, it's insanity. But you go, yeah, Jesus Christ crucified. Him crucified. He paid for all sins. Be forgiven. Accept Christ. Have a home in heaven. Receive the Holy Spirit, who will change you and enable you to live like Jesus. I don't care what you are. I wish all the heterosexuals would jump on board with that myself. Right? Transgender, beside that being the mental illness, which it is, same thing. It's the same thing. Do you see what I'm saying? Well, and this is what Paul is trying to, if the Apostle Paul was here, that's what he would do. That's how he would approach it. So we're equipped to do everything we have, everything we knew. Now, you know what we're doing when we do that? We're waging war in heaven. That's how you wage war in heaven. Okay? And when you wage war in heaven and you do it like that, then you watch God move. See? And it's powerful. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. So we have a powerful, it's a power at working. Our battle plans don't work. Only the words God gives penetrate the cosmic spiritual darkness. Homosexuality is a cosmic spiritual darkness. Transgender, it's a cosmic spiritual darkness. Being a thief is a cosmic spiritual darkness. And Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and His crucified releases the power of God and brings and causes the demons to flee and to bring God into Him presence and be forgiven of their sins, have a home in heaven, and receive the Holy Spirit that enables them to live like Jesus. Amen? That's right. Same message. to heterosexual and homosexual. Same message. Same message. Now, let's look at the heavens. Here we are, the heavens. You know, you think, well, you know, a lot of questions coming up. But what God is showing us here, he's trying to tell us what's happening in the heavens. We can't see it. This is happening. People don't see it. We don't see it. But he said, this is what's happening, so we understand. So he tells us more about what. Now, he uses this in 2 Corinthians, so we're going to back up where he's already told us. He said, look at what's happening in the heavens when you do this. Look at what happens in the heavens when you do this. Okay, look, if you will, at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 through 6. Okay. And it's just helpful to understand. Okay. We're standing on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen? Jesus had just been released in the heavens. Okay. 2 Corinthians 4:3. And you follow along. I gave you some highlights overhead here, but you can follow along with the whole scripture, the three verses here. And said, and even if our gospel is veiled. Oh, son of a gun. You ever feel like the gospel was just veiled? Okay. But Jesus says it is often. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Now, a lot of people don't like that. They say, I don't like that. Well, God is telling you what's happening. God is telling you what's happening to homosexuals, heterosexuals, and anything else. He's telling us what's happening, all right? And this is what God says. It's alive. It's breathing. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world, the God of this world, the spiritual wickedness, wicked in cosmic places, Satan and all his dominion. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbeliever, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves. I don't need your fancy smoking words. For we proclaim not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord. With ourselves as your servant, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine in darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, oh my. People do not believe because the God of this world has blinded their minds. And you're not going to talk them out of it. If God doesn't move and break through, they're lost for eternity. But your flowery words won't bring them out of it. God has to move. The light that's shone in our heart needs to shine in their heart. Our words are light, waging war, penetrating darkness. That really helps us a lot. Our words are light. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And it penetrates the darkness. It penetrates the darkness. We speak truth, a war takes place. Now here, listen to this. Christ does not simply help people to think holy thoughts, but Christ changes their mental structures. Their mind is taken over, transformed, and they become and have a new allegiance. So let's talk to homosexuality, and this is wrong, and you need to live better. What are you talking about? No, you need to come to Christ. He restructures your whole thoughts, your mental structures. He takes over and transforms you. And a new allegiance takes place. See? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, I'm going to give you an example, and I've given you this example before, but I think it's so good. We need to know. Again, we want the power of God, right? The power of God. Well, this helps us understand. And we don't, there's no intimidation. That's just joyful. Just keep jumping back to Christ crucified. Just keep coming. And then build off that. Because the devil can't handle this. The devil can't handle this. Okay? There's a guy told this before, but so fits here. And his name is John C. Whitcomb. And he went to Princeton. We have Mike. He went to Princeton. He went a little after 1943. Okay. So John C. Whitcomb. But anyway, he was in Princeton in 1943. Princeton used to be a seminary. Not now, but used to be a seminary. Okay, so John is a young man, John Whitcomb, and he's a big theologian. He's passed on now. And so he was trying to convert his roommate to Christianity. And his roommate, you know, intellectually just couldn't buy into it. And he couldn't accept the biblical account of Jonah and the whale. And, you know, and so this kid tried and tried. So he got just frustrated. And so he went to this professor, this real godly professor, older, and I can't convince this guy. He's hung up on Jonah and the whale. Would you come and talk to him? He's, yeah, I'll come talk to him. So he goes in and talks to him. He's, all right, I'll talk to you. Sits down and introduces to this kid, and he's sitting there. And that old man, he said, well, okay. He said, I hear you have some questions about Jonah and the whale, and I'll be glad to talk to you about that. He says, but would you mind if I shared with you about Jesus Christ before I talked about Jonah and the whale? Kid goes, whatever. Yeah, go ahead. So the old man shares with him Jesus Christ. And the kid accepts Christ. He shared with him, and he accepts Christ. And he prayed with him, received Christ. And then he said, okay, says, now, do you have some questions about, what are your questions about Jonah and the whale? He goes, I don't have any. It's not intellectual. Not intellectual. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he reworks the mental structures. Nah. All he did is accept Christ, cleared up. And that's what Paul is telling us here. That is what he's telling us. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now you build off of that. Again, I'm just saying it because every time you turn on the TV, I mean, they've even messed Hallmark up. I can't even watch Hallmark anymore. You know? See, homosexuality is Jesus Christ and him crucified. He'll rework the mental structure. Transgender, they really need their mental structure reworked. Don't be fooled. Satan's he's a good liar. Do you know what? I mean, God really gives Satan a lot of credit. You know what he calls him? He goes, Satan is he's not only a liar. You've seen some good liars. He says Satan is the father of lies. That's what he calls him. He's the father of lies. Why would you argue with him? He is the one who put this false belief. He is the one that messing with people's minds. He is the one doing this, and they're sucking us into it. No, it's Jesus Christ and him crucified. We don't move off of that. Talk about this. Why? Let's just talk about Jesus Christ and him crucified. See? And heaven shake. And heaven shake. All right? So then we're just stuck with John 14:6. We're just stuck with John 14:6. You know, Jesus said, oh, by the way, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father through me. I don't care if they're homosexual, heterosexual, transgender, or any other thing they want to be. It's like, this is the only way you get to me. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we just ask you to move in a powerful way. And that, Lord, we just recognize, Lord, that you died for our sins. We are forgiven, and we thank you for that. And Lord, too, that you've given us all the power of the universe. And all you want us to do is just proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then you will shake heavens and you will move in. And we thank you for that. So we give you honor and glory in the name of the Jesus Christ. Amen.